ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday, July 25th, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room, the fastest 3 hours on the internet. Starts now. Well, President Trump has just landed in Scotland, where he's going to be taking a working vacation, as they're saying. He does plan to have at least one round of golf at his golf course while he's there. And he's going to be discussing trade with some EU leaders while he's playing golf with them. And I say good. In fact, I think it was earlier this week where I said, I begged President Trump to go play golf. I was begging him. I was like, go play a round of golf. You just need to get a gun. You need to get a game in. So he's gonna be playing around. So that's good. It's good news. Good news for the country. He needs that. It's therapeutic. And, hopefully he shoots a good game. At least that's probably what, his enemies are hoping. Now, he took questions from the press before getting on Air Force One. That was earlier this morning. We have some of the highlights and some of those clips. And then, after he just landed, we're pulling in the entire kind of pseudo-press conference, if you will. He just landed. He gets off Air Force One. He does another round of questions with the press and some other stuff. But talking about Epstein, Maxwell, the economy, trade, and a little golf. Talking a little golf. Does Happy Gilmore 2 come out this weekend? Is golf the theme of the weekend here? Do I need to get a tee time? So we'll be hearing all of that from President Trump coming up on the other side of this short segment. Now, we've got an update. Russia and Ukraine war. Things are heating up. Strikes going back and forth. Drone strikes. And then you've got some other stuff going on dealing with Israel, but most of this geopolitical news is going to be dealing with Russia and Ukraine. But I suppose the Israel issue always hits us here in the homeland as well, in America, my holy land. New hate speech laws, let's say, to put it simply, are now trying to target social media companies and force them to censor anti-Semitic speech. Yes, that's right. So what they're trying to do here is, oh, well, the government, it's like what they already did, but they didn't come out and do it publicly. Oh, well, the government can't censor your speech, but the private corporations can. So Facebook can censor you or X or anyone else. And so now they're going to try to pressure these social media companies into engaging in censorship again, except this time it's public with policy instead of behind the door stuff, secret emails and the portals and everything we learned about from the Biden administration. So yes, I do have a stack on the Epstein Maxwell situation, and there have been some developments. For the second straight day, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche had a closed-door meeting with Maxwell in the prison and then made some comments afterwards. Then there were rumors that I haven't really seen confirmed yet. I think it's kind of obvious that this is where it's going to go, but I haven't seen it confirmed. So the rumors are Maxwell is requesting a pardon for cooperation in whatever it is they're asking her to cooperate in. So that's a whole nother thing. But Trump did comment on that again today as well. So when we come on to the other side, we're going to be playing clips of Trump this morning, and then we'll play the whole pseudo press conference that just happened in Scotland.
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday the 29th to take advantage of one of the biggest sales yet at theyellowshowstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only 3 or 4 of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect, but most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at TheAlexShowStore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Go to Trump in Scotland just landing moments ago. So the drip, drip, drip of the Trump-Epstein connection continues. And I've got some other commentary on this that we'll get into today. But guys, actually, put the Drudge headlines back up. And I'm not going to get into the weeds of it all. We'll just do some kind of, we'll kind of go over the new developments here, but I'm not going to delve into all these new drip, drip, drip stuff. Because there's just, it's just too much. It's all the same. 100,000 pages of unreleased Epstein, Maxwell Freedom for Dirt on Clinton, Don Damage Control. And last night they put out new things of him signing a book and signing a picture. And it's just, you know, it's just, it's the drip, 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 drip. Now, just for the context here, I get hammered by the new MAGA, the woke right, whatever you want to call them. They say, oh, you're fake MAGA. You're anti-Trump. You're a liberal now. You're paid opposition. All of this stuff. I just tell the truth. That's what I do. I call it as I see it. But I've been critical of Trump in the last month because that's how I see it. I see the administration going sideways. I see things happening that I don't like. I see things that don't look good. But I just call it as I see it. So when they released this last night, which is allegedly a Donald Trump signature on a book, and see, notice what they do here with this, how they edit it so that you can't see the full picture. So really you need to see the full picture, and I did send it to the crew. And I saw this last night, and I said, it looks fake. Looks fake to me. It kind of looks like AI, but it's like, how is the marker so perfect and so pure? And then you look at the book that's from the 90s, you can tell there's some aging, but somehow the marker is perfect. I've never seen Trump's signature look like that before in my life. I don't know. Maybe he signed stuff like that. I've never seen it. So the point is, I'm just here calling it as I see it. So now they might be doing some fake, just completely fake stuff. But you have to look at both sides of this. And you just have to be honest. I mean, for Trump to say again today that he had nothing to do with Epstein is just ridiculous. I mean, really. That's it might be a reach, but that's almost like me saying I have nothing to do with Alex Jones. It's like, oh, Mr. Schroyer. We saw you in a video with Alex Jones. We saw you in a report with Alex Jones. I say, I don't know Alex Jones. I know nothing of Alex Jones. I had nothing to do with Alex Jones. It'd be a blatant lie. So, I mean, Trump is in dozens of videos, dozens of photos. It's just ridiculous. And my guess is that drip they had yesterday where Epstein's brother and the legal team is going to claim, well, Epstein actually broke it off with Trump because he discovered he was a con man. No, I think what happened was Epstein discovered that Trump was cooperating in an investigation of Epstein. And that's when Epstein cut him off. Or Trump cut off Epstein, but that's the phenomenon that happened there. So we're just going to call it straight here. So I'm not going to jump on and say, wow, look, total proof. Look at the signature. Thing looks fake to me. But see, this is what we'll get to later. I'm going to go to the clips now, but this is where we're going to get to this later, where Mehdi Hasan from MSNBC comes out and says, and he's commenting on another drip, drip, drip story from the New York Times. Trump's name is on contributor list for Epstein birthday book. It's like, oh, okay. So just more drip, drip, drip. And he says, the leftist MSNBC host says, where the F was all of this reporting in 2016, 2020, and 2024? Where were the effing Dems and their opposition research? How on earth has it taken this long for this stuff to come out? So you're asking the right questions. You're starting to get your sense of logic back. And you're realizing that it doesn't add up. Right. Where was it in the campaign cycles? Right. Why wouldn't the Democrats have used it? Right. Of course, they would have. So it's not a matter of why didn't they. It's they would have. So the point is that this is not coming from the Democrats, folks. I don't even think it's coming from the United States. Somebody else is trying to bend Trump over a barrel with this stuff to get him to do something they want. And look, the odds are, if you want to play the odds, it's Israel trying to get Trump to bomb Iran. That's my odds on favorite. And I think you look at the different circumstantial evidence, that's my odds on favorite. Trump is saying, we're not doing regime change. We're not going to get more involved. We're going to negotiate peace. And Israel is just wanting more war in the Gaza Strip, more war in Iran. They want the regime change, and Trump is saying no. So I think a friend of Netanyahu is probably, you know, at least one degree of separation away from Mossad, but, and, you know, connected to Mossad. And that's where the file is. That's where the Trump Epstein file is, and probably all the Epstein blackmail files are, and probably all the videos too. So that's what I think is going on. I think they're just slowly drip, drip, dripping until they can get Trump to do a regime change war in Iran. So that's me putting on the tinfoil hat, conspiracy theory hat, whatever you want to say. But see, even Hasan from MSNBC is saying, this doesn't make sense. The Democrats would have ran with this stuff on 3 election cycles and didn't. Exactly. This is not coming from the Democrats. This is not coming from the American left. I don't even think it's coming from the American deep state. So you're asking the right questions, but are you ready to really start to understand how the world works? So I'll get back into that. I want to now go to Trump landing in Glasgow, Scotland, where he's going to be playing golf with some EU leaders and negotiating trade at his world-famous golf resort. So he gets off of Air Force One and immediately goes to take questions from the press. And here's how it went.
Welcome back. And we do have President Trump there in Scotland. Let's lift up the audio.
Have to work out?
Nothing. We I think it's more of a celebration than a workout. It's a great deal for both. And we're going to have a meeting on other things other than the deal. The deal is concluded. Well, that's what he does. I mean, you know, that's fine if he does that. That's up to him. It's not up to me. I'm with the United States. I'm not with France. I think it's terrible what happened with Hamas. They tapped everybody along, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what response Israel has to that. But it's getting to be that time.
Also, are you concerned about the energy? That there's a 50-50 chance of the deal. What is left to work out? What are the final sticking points?
I don't know. With the European Union, I think we have a good 50-50 chance. That's a lot.
What are the sticking points?
I don't want to tell you what the sticking points are, but the sticking points are having to do with maybe 20 different things. You don't want to listen to all of them. Yes.
What advice are you going to have for our Prime Minister about free speech? Very important to people here.
Well, it is, but I like your Prime Minister. He's slightly more liberal than I am, as you've probably heard, but he's a good man. He got a trade deal done. And, they've been working on this deal for 12 years. He got it done. It's a good deal. It's a good deal for the UK. So, I'll be seeing him tomorrow evening. And this is our wonderful ambassador, as you know. He's doing a good job. He's a very, very successful man. He'll be doing a good job.
The Royal and Ancient says you're going to have to improve infrastructure at Turnberry to bring the Open back. Is that something you're going to
have to do? I don't know. The best course anywhere in the world is Turnberry. The players all want to be at Turnberry. Everybody wants to be at Turnberry, so we'll see how that works out.
The infrastructure needs to be improved.
The infrastructure and the course is good. In fact, the Royal and Ancient, I don't know if you're aware of this, they spent a lot of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, or probably into the millions of dollars, and they've laid all the wire for television and for electricity under the halls of Turnberry, so that when the Open gets there, they have it all done. They paid for that.
Well, we're talking about roads and railway stations.
I don't know what you can do. All I can tell you is that it would be the best place anywhere in your country to have. There's no place like it. There's no place like Turnberry. It's the best, probably the best course in the world. And I would say Aberdeen is right up there also. Aberdeen's great. And while we're here, I'll be with my son, and he's going to cut a ribbon for the second course at Aberdeen, which is just about equal to the first. I mean, it's going to be a battle. They're very highly rated. And the second course is great. Sean Connery helped get me the permits. If it weren't for Sean Connery, we wouldn't have those great courses. No, I was never briefed. No.
Did you ask
Sean Connery shout out on a Friday?
Interviewing Ghislaine Maxwell, what are you hoping that they get out of that?
I really have no, really nothing to say about it. She is being talked to by a very smart man, by a very good man, Todd Blanche. And I don't know anything about the conversation. I haven't really been following it. A lot of people are asking me about pardons. Obviously, this is no time to be talking about pardons. But a lot of people have asked about pardon. This is just not a time to be talking about pardons. Todd will come back with whatever he's got. You're making a very big thing over something that's not a big thing. You should be talking about, if you're going to talk about that, talk about Clinton, talk about the former president of Harvard, talk about all of his friends, talk about the hedge fund guys that were with him all the time. Don't talk about Trump. What you should be talking about is the fact that we have the greatest 6 months in the history of a presidency, according to a lot of people. And we had amazing...
Pause it real quick, guys. I don't know if you would... Trump doesn't get coached on how to deal with the press, right? And I don't think Trump is really taking advice, let's say, on how to address certain situations like say with the Epstein deal lately. Now he might talk to people about what they're hearing, but I don't think he's really taking advice. But you can tell the messaging is kind of changing a little bit. But it's like, if I could advise the president, I would say you need to be a little more clear for the American people what you mean here, because the way you're attacking this and the way you're responding to this, it makes you look guilty. So what you need to do is you need to just take it another step further. Don't deny your relations to Epstein. It's undeniable. And people will get over that. What you do is you say, hey, they only want to talk about me, but what about all the people that were giving millions or billions of dollars to Epstein that he was managing their money? What about them? Why don't you talk about them?
What about all the people that went to the island? That's what the people really want to know. What about the videotapes from the island and the recording devices? That's what the people really want to know. So that's how you do this. So it's like, I get what he's trying to say. It's like he's had to say it 100 times now, and it's just been such an effective communication. But it's like, maybe now he's finally starting to, okay, it's like, all right, I've thrown 100 straight balls on this issue. I can maybe throw a strike now. But it's still like right on the outside corner. Don't deny you had an involvement. Don't tell people not to talk about Trump. Just say, no, they're turning it into an attack on me, but they're not telling you about Bill Clinton going to the island. They're not telling you about Bill Gates and Zorro Ranch. They're not telling you about whose money he was financing and managing. They're not telling you about his sweetheart deals. They just want to make it about me. No, you know what? I want to know what was going on the island. Maybe we can get some information on that. What was Bill Clinton doing on the island? And you can slowly start to pepper some other names in there if you want. But many of those people may be his friends. But see, that's how you have to do it. So to come out and say, don't talk about Trump, or I never knew him, that's just bad PR, bad communication. You can easily deflect this deal. You can deflect this deal. And it's like, you're getting closer. Yeah, let's talk about the island. Let's talk about Bill Clinton. Let's talk about all the people who have billions of dollars that he was managing their money. Who are they? This is what the people want to know. I'm with them. So it's almost there. And maybe after a round of golf, he can clear his head and find how to communicate that issue a little bit better. And then the Maxwell angle that's obviously about to get more interesting as well. But I just wanted to cut in for a second. And you can and just explain. It's like, okay, you're getting closer to having better messaging on this, but you're just almost there. All right, let's go back.
Union having we're also meeting with, as you know, the head of UK Prime Minister, and I look forward to that. But we're meeting in terms of a deal. We're meeting with the European Union. And that would be actually the biggest deal of them all if we make it.
Did you ask House Republican leaders to not vote on the resolution
no,
about
No, I was never involved in that. I'm focused on making deals. I'm not focused on conspiracy theories that you are. I mean, I watch you people. It's so sad. You ought to talk about the success of our country instead of this nonsense that you talk about over and over again.
You've done an amazing job on illegal migration in America.
I have.
People here are very worried about the situation.
Well, I say two things to Europe. Stop the windmills. You're ruining your countries. I really mean it. It's so sad. You fly over and you see these windmills all over the place, ruining your beautiful fields and valleys and killing your birds. And if they're stuck in the ocean, ruining your oceans. Stop the windmills. And I mean, there's a couple of things I could say. But on immigration, you better get your act together. You're not going to have Europe anymore. You got to get your act together. And we, you know, as you know, last month we had nobody entering our country. Nobody. Shut it down. And we took out a lot of bad people that got there with Biden. Biden was a total stiff. And what he allowed to happen, but you're allowing it to happen to your countries. And you got to stop this horrible invasion that's happening to Europe. Many countries in Europe. Some leaders have not let it happen. And they're not getting the proper credit they should. I could name them to you right now, but I'm not going to embarrass the other ones. But stop. This immigration is killing Europe. And the other thing, stop the windmills, killing the beauty of your countries. Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay, so that was President Trump moments ago landing in Scotland and about to be doing some trade negotiations with EU leaders and hopefully playing a couple rounds of golf. Maybe he'll get out there on the new course. I think they said they have a ribbon cutting ceremony this weekend with, I don't know if it'll be Don Jr. or Eric, but one of his sons will be doing that. So hopefully this will be some good R&R for President Trump, even though he'll be working. Hopefully getting out on the golf course, will be some much needed, let's say nature therapy. what do they call it, guys? Forest bathing. Well, it's not quite that. I think those courses are pretty open, actually. But, no, I think this will be good. I think they'll be good. It's been a pretty rough last month for President Trump. There's no doubt about it. So maybe a couple rounds of golf can ease some of that stress, clear his mind, and get him refocused on messaging and then, you know, on the issues that the American people are really concerned about. So I don't have much time left in this segment. We'll come back on the other side and play the clips from this morning of Trump on the tarmac. It's likely you've seen most of those, but I still think it's worth playing a couple for those that haven't. I will get more into the new drip, drip, drips here and then President Trump's response to it last night. And it's certainly going a different direction now. I mean, the desperation here from who's ever running this is starting to show. And I guess, again, the communication has been the issue here. It's been self-inflicted wounds. But I guess the strategy now from Trump is just try to wait this thing out and just let them release whatever they have, whatever else they're going to make up. And then whenever they're out of gas on that, you come back in, you do an end around, and on the back end, I guess you hope that you can get Maxwell to do some sort of a public testimony and name names. But even that is such an embarrassment, because you know, and this isn't even about a Trump thing, but you know they're going to say, oh, they cut a deal for Trump, and he'll pardon her, and maybe she'll go back to Israel or something. And so then they'll say, oh, see, you know, Trump twisted her arm to say this stuff. So then nobody will trust what she says. And you probably shouldn't trust her anyway. She's a monster. So I get it. It's politics. It's the legal world. Deals get cut with monsters. It's unfortunately true. But if she's going to get a deal and get a pardon, I hope we deport her ass. I don't want her in our country. That's for damn sure. So if there's any other country that'll take that monster, she can go ahead. But then it's like, so Trump just wait it all out, then come on the back end and say, all right, here's the sex trafficker. Here's what she has to say. It's not me. Okay? It's not me. See how that goes? So it looks like that's how they're trying to build this up and then close it down. But until then, oh, look, it's like, where are they getting this stuff, too? Somebody's got the file, folks, and it's not the Democrats. Unless they're stealing records from the FBI or stealing records from some other government agency here, which is a crime. So there needs to be an investigation of who either doctored documents or who stole documents. But then, you know, this is maybe even the more embarrassing thing about the Maxwell ordeal. So are we supposed to now believe, and this does happen in legal cases, but I guess what they're telling us now is that nobody actually investigated this. So Maxwell's never been asked about the people she was trafficking kids to. Maxwell has never been asked, or Epstein has never been asked about who else was abusing their sex slaves. Or who else was on the flights in the island? This has never been investigated. Is that what we're being, that's basically what they're telling us now. So now we have to investigate with Maxwell in prison. There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier, S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you asked me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ, black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Making talk radio great again. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
So we just heard from Trump landing in Scotland. I want to go back to this morning and just play a couple of these highlights. I know earlier today we've pretty much covered the entirety of Trump's kind of two pseudo press conferences, one on the tarmac, one outside of the White House. So let's play these clips and then look at the latest developments on this situation. So I suppose this is in response to the book, the image of the book that was published last night, where they're claiming it's a signature from Donald Trump to Epstein in 1997. And there's other images and other letters and stuff. So they're, you know, like I said, it's just the drip, 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 drip. And Trump did issue a statement, but here's what he said this morning when asked in clip 3.
I don't even know what they're talking about. Now, somebody could have written a letter and used my name, but that's happened a lot. All you have to do is take a look at the dossier, the fake dossier. Everything's fake with that administration. Everything's fake with the Democrats. Take a look at what they just found about the dossier. Everything is fake. They're a bunch of sick people. Where did you see the people laying outside?
Right across the street from Lafayette Park, sir. Towards 15.
We'll take care of
it. And then finishing a comment off talking about the homelessness in D.C. So Trump writes letters all the time. Could he have signed a book for Jeffrey Epstein? Certainly it's possible. Does that implicate him in anything? No. He signs stuff. He sends stuff all the time. Calls people the greatest all the time. And again, it's just such bad PR, such bad messaging. Stop trying to connect this to the Russiagate hoax. Stop that. It's a totally separate thing. If you want to deflect on the Epstein thing, do what you did today and say, oh, it's Bill Clinton or, oh, it's Bill Gates. That's what you do. Talk about his financier work. Talk about his sweetheart deals that kept him out of prison. Talk about who went to the island. That's what you talk about. But to try to act like, oh, I didn't know Epstein. I know nothing about it. It's just ridiculous. And it's gonna look more ridiculous because they're just gonna keep putting new stuff out that puts you at parties and weddings and beauty pageants and everything with the guy. Which is not proof of anything criminal at all. But then you start to act like it's not real or it's fake or it's like Russiagate. Well, now it's like, now you look guilty. And this is coming from one of his biggest supporters. That's what's so frustrating is, you have all of these yuppies now. You have all these groupies, and they just, oh, you know, everything Trump does is perfect, and it's just so great. It's like, you guys are messing this up badly. Because he sees you defending him when he makes mistakes, and he thinks, oh, everything's great. No. Your best friend's wife is cheating on him, you tell him. Your best friend's business partner is stealing money from him, you tell him. You don't say, oh, no, you and your wife are the best. Everything is great. Oh, you and your business partner, it's the best ever. No, you tell them the truth because you care about them. And you want to set it right. So he posted this last night after they published that book, which I don't know. I think it looks fake. I've never seen a Trump signature like that. It looks like it's like a photocopied, superimposed, like AI signature that they put onto the book. It's what it looks like to me. It doesn't really match anything else. It's like, I mean, how many times have you signed stuff with a Sharpie and you know in 20 years, in 30 years, it ages a little bit. It sinks into paper a little bit. And this is like, it looks like it was just signed. And I've never seen a Trump signature like that. But even if it is real, there's nothing there that makes him, there's nothing criminal. Trump writes letters and signs stuff all the time, and we knew he was hanging out with Epstein. So he posted this after the New York Times published that last night. The radical left Democrats are doing everything in their power to distract and obfuscate from our great 6 months of service to America, results of which many are saying is the best 6 months in presidential history. They have gone absolutely crazy and are playing another Russia, Russia, Russia hoax, but this time under the guise of what we will call the Jeffrey Epstein scam. As things are revealed, and I hope will take place quickly, you will see that it is yet another Democrat con job. Hopefully, the grand jury files will put an end to this hoax. Of course, the judge is blocking those. And Obama judge Robin Rosenberg. Everyone should see what is there, but people who are innocent should not be hurt. Make America great again. I don't know what that means. People who are innocent should not be hurt. I'm guessing that means that there's people on the flight logs and other things that weren't, you know, engaged in sexual crimes. I'm assuming that's what, or financial crimes. But it's like even Trump is saying, oh, it's the Democrats. So, okay. I don't think it's the Democrats. No, I think if the Democrats were going to do this, they would have done it in one of the three campaign cycles, and they didn't. So I don't think it's the Democrats, but Trump says, oh, it's the Democrats. Well, okay, then you have to ask, how are the Democrats getting all of this dirt? Where are they getting it from? How are they getting it? Is somebody leaking it to them? Is there a leaker? because there's no way they sat on this in an election cycle. So they weren't sitting on this. They didn't have it until Trump got into office. So how are they getting it? Is there a leaker? Or before Biden left the White House, did somebody get in there and steal documents so that it could be used against Trump in his second term? Now, of course, both of these things would be crimes. But nobody's really going with that angle. So we're just saying, oh, Democrat hoax. Well, you know, words have meaning. So who's running the hoax? Who's leaking the materials? Where are they getting it? And that's why I used even the liberals, even the leftists starting to ask the right questions here. They're saying, and of course, they just wanted Trump destroyed earlier. And they look at this as this is destroying Trump. And it's MSNBC hosts. You know, where was this stuff in 2016 and 2020 and 2024? Exactly. Exactly. So I think this is just going to continue. That's the path it's on. And who knows? Who knows how much other crap they have? Who knows how many other photos and videos with Trump and Epstein there are? Who knows how many other birthday parties or letters or wedding invitations? I mean, it's just anything. It's like, yeah, clearly somebody has a Trump Epstein file. And clearly somebody every day is just kind of slipping a couple cards under the table, like, go ahead. Clearly that's going on. But yeah, you don't have somebody doing that for all the other people involved with Epstein. No, you don't have people doing that to former Israeli prime ministers that used to do business deals and hang out at Epstein's house. You don't have that going on. Nobody's releasing those files. Nobody's releasing the Epstein-Clinton files. Nobody's releasing the Epstein-Gates files. So, yeah, this is clearly a hit on Donald Trump. And, yes, the response from Trump and the White House has been a disaster. But it looks like at this point he's just going to wait it out. He's just going to wait it out and maybe now try to cut a deal with Maxwell to aim her against who's ever doing this to him. Now, Todd Blanche, the deputy attorney general, just finished up his second rounds of interviews or negotiations with Maxwell, and then he posted it last night. Today I met with Maxwell, and I will continue my interview of her tomorrow. The Department of Justice will share additional information about what we learned at the appropriate time. So we don't have anything yet. Now, the rumors are Maxwell's legal team has requested a pardon. So whatever's going on, they're trying to cut a deal, and she's requested a pardon. Her lawyer has made public statements saying that she has fully cooperated in this investigation. By the way, Ron Klain became the first witness for the Biden auto pen scandal to not plead the fifth, FYI, in his closed-door testimony. But I digress. So Trump was asked about pardoning her earlier today, and he said this.
Would you consider a pardon or a commutation for Ghislaine Maxwell if
it's something I haven't thought about? I'm allowed to do it, but it's something I have not thought about.
But you wouldn't rule it out, sir.
Mr. President, why has the dollar?
So there you go. And I'm guessing, what is this footage on the screen here, guys? I haven't seen this. This is her going into prison. Okay. This is her before or after the meeting. It looks like they're delivering her legal documents for review here. Okay. So let's get to the other clips from Trump earlier today. And finish up first with the Epstein stuff here. Here's one more, clip 7.
But, you know, you should focus on Clinton. You should focus on the president of Harvard, the former president of Harvard. You should focus on some of the hedge fund guys. I'll give you a list. These guys lived with Jeffrey Epstein. I sure as hell didn't. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, just don't be part of the president.
So you can tell Trump knows a lot more about this. He says he's going to give you a list. He says they lived with him. But that's what I'm saying is stop calling it a hoax or trying to divert and make it like the Russian collusion. Just be like, hey, you know, I wasn't the only guy hanging out with Epstein. And my relations with Epstein were very superficial. Okay? I wasn't living at his place. I wasn't doing the deals. I wasn't flying to his island. I handled my own money, and I like grown women. So maybe talk to some other people that flew around with Epstein. Maybe talk to some other people that used to go to his island. Maybe talk to the people whose money he used to manage. So if they want to keep pushing it, he can start naming those names. And you see, the same frantic response, you might say, that people have had to the Epstein story in the last 3 weeks, now that will be aimed at the new names. Because it's really not a Trump thing. It's turned into a Trump thing, but it's not a Trump thing. It's an Epstein thing. It's a Maxwell thing. It's a blackmail thing. It's an intelligence operation thing. That's what we want to get to the bottom of. That's what we want. This isn't about burying Trump. This isn't about nailing Trump to the wall. This is about, I mean, really, I would say, if we go all the way, this is about exposing how these intelligence operations work so that the whole world can see how corrupt it is and we can start to have a movement politically to say, we got to shut this down. We can't have these groups, the CIA, MI6, Mossad, other intelligence groups, other proxy groups, running around the world, billions of dollars in cash, funding wars, toppling regimes, sex trafficking, money laundering. And then, of course, they're above the law because they're the government agents. That's what this is about. And you know what? Maybe, if there were other people involved in sexual crimes against women and children, maybe we can bring them to justice too for the victims of all of this. That would probably be nice. Trump closing it out though here in clip 4.
What are you hoping Todd Lance gets out of this meeting with Ghislaine Maxwell?
Well, I don't know about the meeting. I know it's taking place, and he's a fantastic man. He's a great attorney, and people should really focus on how well the country's doing, or they should focus on the fact that Barack Hussein Obama led a coup, or they should focus on the fact that Larry Summers from Harvard, that Bill Clinton, who you know very well, and lots of other friends, really close friends of Jeffrey Summers, should be spoken about, because, you know, Jeffrey Epstein should be spoken about. And they should speak about them, because they don't talk about them. They talk about me. I have nothing to do with the guy.
So starting to name the names, but then again, oh, I had nothing to do with that. I mean, come on, man. Come on. And I had nothing to do with Alex Jones. I mean, it's just ridiculous. All right, he did talk about some other things. Talking about tariff revenue coming in here in clip 5.
And don't you feel it?
Mr. President, with all of that revenue coming in, tens of billions of dollars, do you think there's the possibility of a rebate to the American public in terms of all of that money?
We're thinking about that, actually. We have so much money coming in, we're thinking about a little rebate, but the big thing we want to do is pay down debt. But we're thinking about a rebate. That's a very good question. You just made a lot of news. We're thinking about a rebate because we have so much money coming in from tariffs that a little rebate for people of a certain income level might be very nice.
Well, we called that one.
I told you they'd start considering. I said they'll probably do a stimulus thing to try to get the approval ratings up. They're going to call it a rebate. But, yeah, did we say that on Monday this week, guys? When did we say that? We said they're going to just start throwing money at people to try to get the approval rating back up. Hey, fine, whatever. I think what should have been done was the Doge cuts. And then they said, oh, well, we'll make enough Doge cuts. We can send $5,000 to every citizen after the Doge cuts are made. So that's what you should have done. The incoming money on the revenues and the tariffs, that needs to go towards the debt. Now, Senator Hawley, said he's going to introduce legislation in the Senate to send a rebate check to every working person in America. So at least they're going to start that process. Where it goes from there, we'll find out. The federal government has opened up a PayPal and a Venmo account. You can volunteer to pay off the national debt. Isn't that fun? The federal government has given Americans the option to pay down the $36.7 trillion federal debt with PayPal and Venmo donations. This is beautiful. So all of the Democrats and all of the liberals that have been raising your taxes for years and always want to raise taxes, can't get enough taxes, they're all rushing to Venmo. They're all rushing to PayPal. They are voluntarily paying more taxes. The systems are overwhelmed. We're slicing into the debt now because we know that progressive liberals and Democrats are principled people and they are consistent in their beliefs and they really believe that people need to be paying more to the government. And so they all rushed to Venmo and PayPal and started to help pay off the debt, so much so that the systems were shut down. Thank goodness high tax Democrats are such principled and consistent people with policy. Thank goodness. So we're slashing into the debt now. Did you pick up on my sarcasm there? I don't know. Is it a little obvious? Yeah. I don't think a single Democrat has. Guys, pull up the federal debt tracker for me, because I believe on that deal they have a debt per citizen on there as well. So I actually think it's brilliant. Oh, yeah, hey, anybody want to help pay off the debt? I mean, sure. Why not do it? But, you know, the Democrats that tip less and donate less to charity, but want to raise taxes, want to take your money, they won't volunteer their own. They never want to volunteer their own. So debt per citizen, 108,000. So everybody go and put $108,000 on Venmo in your PayPal and pay off the debt. But I actually, specifically Democrats that vote for higher taxes, you need to get on that. That's on you. All right? But no, you just love spending other people's money. You never volunteer to spend your own. And then, talking about his Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity might save Obama in clip 8.
Thank you, Mr. President. How do you think that the Supreme Court's ruling that benefited you on presidential immunity would apply to former President Barack Obama and what you're accusing him of doing?
It probably helped him a lot. Probably helped him a lot, the immunity ruling. But it doesn't help the people around him at all. But it probably helped him a lot. Well, he's done criminal acts, there's no question about it. But he has immunity, and it probably helped him a lot. He owes me big. Obama owes me big.
So, it's another way of telling all the people that were hyped up thinking Obama was about to get arrested that that didn't happen. And, of course, it never was happening. Now, he did go on to say that the people around Obama don't have the same protections, so they could have a problem potentially. But I'm still highly doubtful of that.
as well. And I think if you just look at the timing of it all, the timing tells you that this was more of a political stunt than anything else. But no, deep state criminals need to go to jail. They committed the crimes. They illegally spied on Trump. You think about all the crimes we've just witnessed in say, the last 5 years that need to be prosecuted. They stole an election. That needs to be prosecuted. They forced people to take a deadly vaccine. That needs to be prosecuted. They shut down the economy. That needs to be prosecuted. They politically persecuted and imprisoned many innocent Americans and people for their speech. That needs to be prosecuted. And yes, going all the way back to 2015, 16 and beyond, they illegally spied on Trump and other people in Trump's circle. They made up fake documents in order to parallel construct their reason to do so. Those are crimes that need to be prosecuted as well. So you can go on and on and on. But yeah, they all need to be prosecuted. Will they be? Well, that just might be a little too heavy of a lift. I'm not so sure if there's anybody serious enough. And I'm not sure if anybody's really ready to do that. Perhaps we will find out, though. All right, first hour coming to a close. And we got some other stuff from Trump here, but I'm going to get into the other news when we get into the second hour. Folks, remember, this sale comes to an end when the week is over. That's the buy one, get one free bombshell sale happening at thealexjonesstore.com right now. Buy one, get one free methylene blue tincture. Buy one, get one free Sheila Jeet gummies. Buy one, get one free CMOS gummies. Unleash your inner warrior with the buy one, get one free bombshell sale happening right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This week only, it's about to come to a close. Unleash your inner warrior. Grab a bottle of the Sheila Jeet gummies and get another bottle free, boosting your energy and stamina like never before. Or double up on methylene blue tincture to supercharge your cognitive focus with this incredible buy one, get one free deal. And don't miss out on the ultimate CMOS gummies. Also buy one, get one free to support your immune system and overall wellness. Shop now at thealexjonesstore.com and fuel your fight for health while supplies last. And you only have 10 hours left when you shop at the Alex Jones Store to be eligible in the two different raffles. The Ford F-250 truck raffle has 10 hours left. If you want to be eligible for that raffle, you need to get your shopping done in the next 10 hours. But you are eligible for the Jeep Gladiator Rubicon raffle as well right now. So you're eligible in two raffles when you shop at thealexjonesstore.com today.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy and he got me on methylene blue and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS, Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. and I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Making talk radio great again. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Well, a pretty incredible story happened this week. Iowa boy born at just 21 weeks becomes Guinness World Records most premature baby ever. And there's some stunning images there of the child, tiny little baby, obviously, resting on the mother. And Nash Keen is the name of the young boy. Weighed only 10 ounces when he was born 133 days before his due date, early enough to land him in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most premature baby of all time. And so the abortion issue is not as much of a political issue right now because Trump's sending it back to the states. So it kind of becomes more of a state issue, and the Democrats will use it as they can in an election cycle, but at the end of the day, it's up to the states to decide. But this is just a not so subtle reminder of why abortion is murder. This is your not so subtle reminder of why abortion needs to be looked at as killing a child. Because that's what it is. And this miracle, this miracle here shows you exactly that. And anybody that's gone through a premature birth like that knows the struggles and also knows the miracles and just comes to appreciate the whole process even more so. So it almost needs to become an image of the pro-life movement. And it's so dark and twisted to think how many 21-week-olds have been shut off from their chance at life, have been shut off before they could see the world, the light of the world, the heat of the world. It's like, how can you see that and still not understand what we've done and not just be heartbroken? So, really, the only people left pushing and supporting abortion are young liberal women. That's it. And here's an example of one who gets shut down at this abortion debate. Young liberal woman doesn't seem to know much about what she cares about. Gets shut down by the expert here in clip two.
So, my poster reads, life begins when you understand living women matter more than potential babies.
If it's a potential baby, what is inside of a woman?
It's a fetus.
Is it living?
No.
How can it grow if it's not living?
Actually, that's like saying if an acorn is a tree.
When does the fetus become living?
That's actually a good question, but that line...
Yeah, of course, because you don't know it, because it's living.
Oh.
It's living. No, when is sustainability?
21? About, like, 30 weeks to born, like...
How do you sustain life? Like, my newborns aren't sustainable. You can't just have a newborn, and they just, like, live on their own, right?
Right.
Is a newborn not worthy of life? Is a newborn not worthy of life?
So, you know, really what I'd like to see with all political discussion and debate, it's just, let's just have it in reality. Let's just have a debate in reality. And for this young girl, this isn't about, oh, it's not a baby, it's not a life. Stop it. That's just propaganda that the abortion industry has put into your mind. If you don't want to get pregnant, there are ways to prevent it, period. All right? Nobody's bugging you to not have sex, okay? But you know what happens when you have sex. So let's stop pretending like we don't. And you have dozens of options to prevent pregnancy. All right? Don't kill your kids.
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday, the 29th, to take advantage of one of the biggest sales yet at theyellowshowstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only 3 or 4 of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect, but most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at TheAlexShowStore.com, and I thank you for your support.
But I guess it's really the same attack. Very targeted. And every time they fail in censorship, every time they get exposed in their censorship efforts, all the different ways that they've attempted to do it. Of course, we now have a pretty clear picture of what they were doing, which they were first discussing in the Obama administration. They were going to do it with Clinton, but then Trump got in. So they were working behind the scenes. And that's when we saw the internet censorship start to roll out on social media specifically. Then they started having task force assignments to censor free speech and target people who they viewed politically as enemies for censorship. We found out about the disinformation czar or whatever that woman's name was that they put in charge. Very, very strange woman that they put in charge of that. And then that failed. Then we found out that they had created a secret program where they were communicating Democrats in these different federal bureaucracies, where they were communicating with social media companies through a portal, and they were suggesting things to be censored. The most famous case example would be the Hunter Biden laptop, but there were plenty of others. And so they kind of used this buffer as an excuse to say, we're not violating the First Amendment. We're not actually censoring anybody. The social media companies are doing that. So it's not illegal. It's not a First Amendment violation. Now, that's just like color of law, you know, legal loopholes that they're trying to use. No, the government was requesting censorship, pressuring censorship. Absolutely, it was a First Amendment violation. And really, there need to be, they should be paying out billions of dollars. But it's like, okay, they ran their little hedge of protection. Well, for the most part, these efforts have failed. It turns out Americans like free speech. So now we're kind of, and I think X really kind of broke the doors wide open. And I know there's a lot of censorship that still goes on. But it's a lot harder now. And when you do engage in the censorship, it's a lot easier to point out the platforms that are doing it and the specific stories that they're doing it to, because you can still get censored-free shows on Rumble. You can still get censored-free broadcasts and news on X. And so it kind of just shatters the whole thing. But that's not going to stop them. And the one thing that they're really concerned about at the ADL is, of course, anti-Semitism. Now, that's just propaganda as well. Because now they just say, if you don't support Israel, you're an anti-Semite. If you cover the war in the Gaza Strip, you're an anti-Semite. So it's really just anything. Now it's just become any news that Israel doesn't want you to see. They just say it's anti-Semitic and then they censor it. And so that's what they're doing. And that's in the West, on top of the censorship that's happening actually on the ground in the Gaza Strip, where the IDF is trying to ban all journalists and having journalists arrested, and some have been killed. So here we go. And they're using some of the old tricks, but they're just repackaging it. Stop Hate Act is a dangerous attack on free speech and the right to dissent. This is an ADL-backed act. Gottheimer, Bacon, and ADL announced legislation to combat terrorists and disinformation on social media. And that's what they say to you, too. Oh, you don't support Israel? You're a terrorist. So see what they've done? That's the game that they've been playing now for over a year. If you don't support Israel and the Gaza Strip, you're a terrorist. You're an anti-Semite. And now here they come back and they say all terrorists and anti-Semites need to be censored. Of course, you're neither a terrorist or an anti-Semite, but that's what they label you as, and then they censor you for it. And soon they'll arrest you for it. That'll be next if they get away with this. This bill would fine social media companies $5 million every day for not fighting terrorism and anti-Semitism. So see, they're using that end around of the Constitution again to put the pressure on social media companies, and they're going to fine you $5 million a day if you don't censor for the ADL, if you don't censor at the behest of Israel's best interests. So anything Israel doesn't like is anti-Semitism. Anything the ADL doesn't like is anti-Semitism and terrorism. And so now you either get censored or the social media companies pay out $5 million a day. And then here was the press conference of them announcing this in clip 9.
This bipartisan legislation will require social media companies to release detailed public reports of violations of their terms of service and to outline how they're addressing these violations, which includes the use of their platforms by terrorist groups. Every day companies fail to report this information, it will result in a $5 million fine. Social media companies can no longer hide the crimes that take place on their platforms, especially when they pose a threat to America's national security. And we're very proud this bill has the backing of the Anti-Defamation League.
I saw anti-Semitism for the first time when I was 15 years old. I had good parents who taught me it was wrong, but it left a lasting impression on seeing my first incident as a teenager. And if you're on my social media, you see it every day from people that are responding back with what I consider is clearly anti-Semitic kind of messages on social media. I even saw a article today. It was about me, but talking about we have opposed congressmen who are pro-Zionists, right? And you're like, in other words, it's all over our social media, and it's unacceptable. And one of my several protests out here the last 2 days, they were vile, right? They were, you can see the anti-Semitism in their comments and how they were treating some of our members of Congress who are Jewish. I saw that firsthand. It's unacceptable. And so we want to be in a country that makes clear that anti-Semitism or any kind of racism is repugnant, unacceptable, not allowed in my space, and we have zero tolerance for it. And people should feel like that they're scorned for having these ideas and espousing these ideals. And we need to work with our social media companies to clean this up, because what is going on is wrong. And I think it's further influencing other young, more people that more, can be influenced by what they're seeing that this is acceptable behavior. It is not. So we need to hold these companies accountable and work with them to take it off the airwaves. So I'm glad to work with my good friend on this. I appreciate Mr. Greenblatt being here as well.
I applaud Congressman Gottheimer, Congressman Bacon, for reintroducing the Stop Hate Act. It's bipartisan. That's launched not because they are Democrat or Republican, because they're patriots who understand what our country needs, to hold the tech companies accountable and to get them to curb the country.
Oh, yeah, it's bipartisan, all right. We all know why. And Jonathan Greenblatt at the ADL, he's going to decide what the meaning of patriotism is. He's going to lecture us on patriotism. Oh, we have a problem with people that don't like Randy Fine because he's Jewish. You know, Randy Fine that has an Israeli flag higher than the American flag in his own congressional office. You know, Randy Fine that runs around with the Israeli flag on him all day long. You know, Randy Fine that celebrates death and destruction. You know, Randy Fine that celebrates kids starving to death. Yeah, you can't criticize him because he's Jewish. And we're going to sign laws that make sure you're not allowed to criticize members of Congress. Because that's patriotic. And this is in America's best interest. Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Right. Yeah. That's who wants this is America. America is the country calling for censorship. Yeah. America is the country concerned about anti-Israel commentary on the internet. That's America. Oh, yeah. And I love how they play this game like they pretend they don't know what's going on. It's kind of a Streisand effect, but it's not even that. It's just like locker room talk, inside jokes, where I don't even know what a good example would be. It'd be like if your friend did something or said something goofy, and then everybody just kept saying it for a couple months afterwards because it was just funny or something. It's like the whole anti-Semitism thing on X is like because you cry about it. It's like. Not to say that there isn't real anti-Semitism, but it's like, let's not even go there for now. Most of the stuff is just sarcasm. Most of the stuff is just trolling. Most of the stuff is just giving you the middle finger. That's what most of it is. And now it's just, but you're playing right into the hands. You're proving all the quote unquote anti-Semites to be correct when you do this. It's like, hey, don't you know cancel culture is Jewish? Don't you know censorship is Jewish? And then here come the Jews saying, we have to censor speech for America. It's like, oh, hey, isn't that funny? How about that? So you're not allowed to be anti-Semitic? Yeah, you are. That's your free speech. That's your free speech. And of course you're allowed to criticize Israel. That's also your free speech, but they write laws banning that. But see, I can go into the biggest bookstores in the country. You can go into Barnes & Noble, and they'll have an entire section. They'll have an entire section of books right when you walk in that are anti-white. Books like White Fragility, books like White Rage. A whole section of them. First thing you see when you walk in. In fact, guys, if you pull up, Mike Cernovich posted that last night, and he put an image up. So where are the white groups, you know, trying to write speech laws? Because you can publish books and put them in the front of a Barnes & Noble that's clearly anti-white bigotry. There's none of it. Doesn't exist. Where are people trying to go into these institutions, these universities, where they discriminate against white people? They also discriminate against Asian people. Where are the people trying to respond to that? Well, I guess the Trump administration is doing a little bit of something about that, but no. Notice what they prioritize first. They prioritize the Jewish students, and they prioritize the Jewish faculty, and they just gave them $20 million for their plight. But the white students that got left behind, the white students that got left out, the white faculty that can't get a raise or a promotion, you don't get jack crap. No, you go into the bookstore and you see the section of white hate, white rage. Why I'm no longer talking to white people. America's original sin of being white. Me and white supremacy. I mean, these are the books you see. Now, can you imagine Greenblatt and the ADL. What if you walked into a bookstore and it was a section of books, Jewish fragility, Jewish supremacy, Jews' original sin. How do you think that would go? Just curious. Do you think Greenblatt would have a problem with that? Of course they would. And they'd be suing every bookstore. They'd be suing every book publisher. So then what happens? So the very quote-unquote anti-Semites that they're referring to here, you just proved them right. Cancel culture is Jewish. Censorship is Jewish. You're just proving them right. So what are you going to do? You're going to censor them. And you're going to threaten social media companies with millions of dollars in fines if they don't censor the speech that you don't like. But you have no problem with all the anti-white bigotry. And by the way, there's anti-black bigotry. There's anti-Indian, anti-Mexican. There's all kinds of different hate corners of the internet. But only one gets the legal protection. Only one gets the fines. Only one gets the lawsuit. Only one gets the payouts. So then what do people do? So they go online and they make anti-Semitic jokes and they play into that hand. Because it's just so obvious. It's so obvious it's hilarious. It's so obvious it's comical. It's humorous now. How over the top it is. So it becomes this joke. It becomes this inside running joke. And then it's, well, it's a little too much for you. So you play right into the meme and you shut it down. You shut it down. By the way, I don't even know. Do we want to look into the early life of those authors? Whoa. Easy there, anti-Semite. Easy. So that's what's going on here, and People are actually, I guess you would say that people are afraid to get into it because it's the most protected thing of, you know, you can't be critical of Israel. You can't say anything negative about Jewish people. So it's like the most protected thing out there. So that's why some people decide, okay, we're going after that. But then it's why you can't have serious movements against it. So that's why they love to play this game and they'll say, oh, look at all the anti-Semites. And it's just some guy posting on the internet, some anonymous account posting on the internet. It's not like the powerful ADL. It's not like there's some powerful white lobby doing this. It's just a bunch of kids on the internet for the most part. So they have to be shut down. They have to be targeted. So aside from the racial issues or any of that, where are the groups coming out and decrying this attack on free speech? If somebody comes up and says, I want to make it illegal for you to write a book that's negative about white people, I would stand up and I would say, he has every right to write a book that's negative about white people. And I would stand up because that's free speech. Somebody was on the street corner in Austin, Texas, which does happen, by the way. We've covered it. Happens at Texas State University. We've covered that too. They can publish. Literally, it was on their thing. They said white DNA is an abomination. Now, I went down there and covered it. I never called for them to be shut down. I just said, here's what you deal with on a college campus. Here's what you deal with. They published that. But if somebody came in there and said, we're gonna censor them or we're gonna silence them or we're gonna fine them or we're gonna arrest them, I'd say no. We're on a battlefield of ideas, but they have the right to free speech. But here comes the ADL reminding you, your free speech ends where Israel says it ends. Your free speech ends when you offend a Jew. We're shutting you down. We're fining you. We're calling you a terrorist. Yeah. And it's like a bunch of 20-something-year-olds shit posting on the internet. It's just like, give me a break. And so, yeah, is there a rise of anti-Semitism? Yeah, what do you think's causing it? So now it's just going to be worse. Gee, I hear all these people talking about the ADL and these different Jewish lobbies trying to censor free speech. I keep hearing about this. And then they do it, and you're like, whoa, that's strange. All these goofy anti-Semites were actually right. So it's just wild to watch this whole thing play out. But, I mean, it's totally green-lit and backed by the administration. There's nobody in the mainstream media. The mainstream media wouldn't dare touch that. They wouldn't dare touch it. They're such cowards. You know, I remember when they hit InfoWars and when they hit Alex Jones. I remember every single one of those suckers. I remember every single one of those punks, specifically that went on Fox News. Watching CNN and MSNBC celebrate it, whatever, I shrug my shoulders, I'm not surprised. No, I watched every single one of those punks, like Steve Hilton and others. I watched every single one of you punks go on so-called right-wing conservative news and celebrate the censorship of Alex Jones and InfoWars. You're punks. So you'll celebrate it when it's comfortable for you. When you think it's comfortable, you'll celebrate censorship and free speech. But as soon as it's, oh, they're censoring stuff for the Biden administration. Oh no, that's free speech. Look at how strong I am. Look at how brave I am. Look at how courageous I am. I'm standing up against social media censorship, even though I celebrated it when there was a test case of Alex Jones and InfoWars. But now it's me. Now it's about vaccines. Now it's about the Hunter Biden laptop. Oh no, we don't like censorship. Censorship bad. But when it was InfoWars, you loved it because you're a coward. And now it'll be the exact same game. It'll be the exact same people. Yeah, we need to censor anti-Semitic speech. We can't have it. But if it's anti-Christian speech, they won't say a damn thing. When it's anti-Muslim speech, they won't say a damn thing. Because they're cowards and frauds. So they're kind of slipping this in right now, and it's not getting much attention. But really, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Anna Paulina Luna and some others, when they first tried to do this in that anti-Semitism bill a couple years ago, and Marjorie Taylor Greene started doing the media rounds and highlighting the portions of the bill, like you couldn't talk about the New Testament and Jesus and everything. And she really was the only one out of the gates standing up and publicizing that stuff and saying, hell no. So that cleared the room for the rest to then stop that bill from getting passed. This is not going to go over well. It's not going to go over well. And you know, you can point out to all the anti-Semites and you can show all the Jew hate and everything else that goes on. And people can be disgusted by it and they can rebuke it and they will, but they're not going to stand for the censorship. It's not going to happen anymore. And it's disgusting. I can't believe that we're still doing this. But you know what? In a humorous note, they're literally being the meme. Jonathan Greenblatt, the ADL, and his little friends writing the anti-Semitism laws, they have literally become the meme that we're all laughing at.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here at the Bigley Manufacturing and Production and Fulfillment Center. It's one of the most impressive things that I've ever seen in my entire life. You can see here, we've got some amazing products like the Ultra Methylene Blue Capsules, light you up like a Christmas tree. We've got the tincture version of it as well, which makes you feel like you're plugged directly into the wall. Amazing new Irish sea moss. We've got the power plant, which is incredible, especially if you take it with the methyl drive. We call it the power drive. But this is one of the most impressive operations that I've ever seen. So many people working day and night to fulfill orders. We're shipping out orders within 72 hours of them being placed on the AlexJonesStore.com. And it's all possible because you support us at the AlexJonesStore.com. But you can see over here, we've got shirts lined up. They're all numbered in a system so we can run by and fulfill orders as quickly as possible. There's dozens of people running around here right as we speak, just fulfilling orders like crazy, and you're the reason that Alex Jones is always going to be on the air. Let me show you some more. Yeah, you can see here that they've just got stacks and stacks and stacks in this warehouse of product and product and product. And a lot of these are the Shilajit gummies, which are one of our best sellers. You can see them labeled up here. We've got the Shilajit capsules. We've got the methylene blue. We've got silver coins lined up. They lock those up in the back because they're so valuable. And they're absolutely incredible collector's items, plus shirts upon shirts, hats upon hats. I want to show you a little bit about how the hats and the shirts are produced. Tell me a little bit about how this machine works, what you're doing over here.
So this is the UV printer. This is a machine that basically, if we want to put any design on something that is not apparel, this is what we do. It's mainly for putting on leather so that we can cut them out and put them on the heads, make them all nice and everything like that.
So you're printing the leather right over here, and then after it gets printed out, it goes over here to Cowboy to polish up?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Tell me a little bit about what you do over here and polishing the leather and stuff.
Well, what I do over here is I take these patches that come from our engraver and our UV printer over there. I get them all cleaned up with the Sino soap and everything, makes them more supple, easier to deal with when we're doing what we need to do with them, putting them on the hats. And then I take this mink oil, which right here, and I take a good generous portion of it off my finger and put it on each patch. And that gives it basically a water-resistant barrier. It makes it to where it's impervious to the elements. And then if people at home want to treat the hats again after they get them, they're more than welcome to do that. Helps extend the life of your hat. And just gives it an all-around better look.
Essentially, we get the orders in. We organize the graphics we get. We create layouts. And then we put the ink down, the adhesive powder. Big heater dries them on. And then we ship them off to pressers.
This is upstairs of the facility where Bigly produces everything for the AlexJonesStore.com. These people handle web development, email campaigns, text campaigns, everything that we need to stay operational and ensure that the InfoWars audience gets all the products that they need as quickly as possible and knows about all the incredible deals. So go to the AlexJonesStore.com and support us right now. Keep Alex Jones on the air.
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday the 29th to take advantage of one of the biggest sales yet at the AlexJonesStore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, the medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only 3 or 4 of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect, but most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The show that digs deeper than the rest. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, let's cover this other geopolitical news here. Dealing with Ukraine and Russia, and that war is ongoing. Lots of strikes going back and forth. Ukraine strikes deep at Russia's largest explosives plant. And this was a massive drone strike in 10 different Russian regions as the latest rounds of peace talks have failed. As both countries are intensifying bombing campaigns, Ukraine hitting Russia's explosive factories. Russia launches heavy strikes despite Trump's arms pledge to Ukraine. So we were supposed to stop our funding and supporting of that, and it hasn't, unfortunately for us, and really unfortunately for everybody involved, because it's just leading to more death. Instead of forcing either Ukraine or both countries to stop, it's just the more money, the more weapons we put in there, the worse it gets. Ukraine and Russia attack each other's territory after latest rounds of peace talks failed. Air attacks resume quickly after direct talks. Prisoner exchange discussed, but no ceasefire moves. Woman killed by falling drone in Russia. Deaths and attacks in Odessa, Kharkiv, and Sumy region. Russia strikes Kharkiv in latest attack, killing at least one. Russian attacks kill two in East Ukraine, 33 hit in Kharkiv. Ukraine secures more funds for some Patriot systems as Russia is striking at the heart of Kharkiv. So back and forth, the death, the destruction continues there. And I wish Trump would have stuck with his gut, stuck with his instincts, and really stuck with his original policy, which was if we can't end it, we're going to try to end it. But if we can't end it, we're just going to let them have at it. We're not funding it anymore. We're not providing military support anymore. We're done. They'll have to fight it out. And it's not even a NATO country, so you can't even use the NATO excuse, which they love to use. But it's not a member of NATO. So, and that's why Russia is so pissed, because it's basically acting as a member of NATO when it's not. And they've expressed this, but they always leave it out. They leave that portion out of it in the Western media that loves to demonize Putin. Run by the military-industrial complex influence, so that the defense contractors stay rich, all of their shareholders stay rich, and the money keeps flowing as the blood keeps flowing. So then there's France. After Macron says we're going to recognize the state of Palestine, French Israelis fume as Paris prepares to recognize Palestinian state. They're saying they feel abandoned. All right. Well, do you want to be French or do you want to be an Israeli? I suppose now is the time to decide, huh? And then you had this. Jewish children removed from flight in Spain for singing in Hebrew. And so this is how it's being pitched. It was a noise complaint. But it turned out the song they were singing was Death to Arabs. The kids, the young Jewish kids singing Death to Arabs on the plane. So they were removed from the flight. But that's anti-Semitism, is what they're saying. And these poor Jewish kids singing Death to Arabs and getting noise complaints on the flight. That's considered anti-Semitism. So it's just not going well. It's just not going well. Israel's relations with the rest of the world, and unfortunately, Jewish people are suffering now too, because, Jewish and non-Jewish relations are not so good in some instances. Not so good. So, you know, the good news is, though, when we talk about this stuff, no matter who you are, white, black, Asian, anything else, Jewish, Christian, anything else, you know, 99% of your exchanges with other humans is probably going to be positive. But there's no doubt if it's 99 now, at this rate, it'll be 98 tomorrow. So it's not trending the right direction with all of this nonsense. But overall, it mostly just plays in the political world and not in the real world experience, at least from my experience, I would say that. That's what I would say. Now, the Democrats might have had the greatest self-own of all time on social media yesterday, and I know we briefly covered it. They've deleted the post. Now, there were other members of the left-wing media, there were other members of the Democrat Party that shared that, thinking it was a big own. Like, oh, this is Trump's economy. So in case you haven't seen it yet, guys, you can dot cam this or pull up any of the graphics. I know Alex had one on his show that was similar to this, but actually was a little better because it showed Trump and Biden. So they say, oh, look how expensive U.S. grocery prices are. And it's just, I mean, literally it's from Biden. I mean, it's just like, that's literally Biden that did that. And they say, oh, Trump did that. And it's literally Biden. And you know what's funny? You look at this. The grocery bills went up the most, but alcohol stayed the lowest. Huh. That tells you something. But it's the greatest cell phone in the history of the internet. And as I'm watching this unfold, and then they erase the post, you know, we've kind of moved on from swinging at the left all day. They're not really in power. They're kind of having a little bit of a an identity crisis right now. There's a void in leadership. So they're not too strong. They're not too influential. They're still out there kind of flailing around. But, you know, it's not really necessary for us to be going after the left all day. So there's some right on right stuff and some, you know, some stuff with Trump and everything else, foreign policy stuff. But we don't really attend to them anymore. So this story doesn't really get the proper play. And I'm watching it all play out and everybody's just having a laugh, right? But, you know, this is actually, there's a serious issue to be reviewed here. And I've talked about this for a long time. I'm not really sure how else to phrase it other than to just put it very frankly, put it very bluntly. This is how retarded Democrats are. This is how stupid they are. That's not some word play. This isn't some shallow attack of the left. I mean, literally. They're so dumb that they will share a graph of total proof of Biden and the Democrats raising the cost of living astronomically. The undeniable proof. If you were to have a debate about who was responsible for the astronomical rise of the cost of living, the consumer price index, the grocery bill, energy bill, everything else, if you were looking for the total proof that it was the Democrats and Biden, this would be it. This would be the final say right here. And they are the ones that shared it thinking this owns Trump. That's how dumb these people are. I mean, you almost can't even fathom it. And they want to run the government. They want to run your country. They want to run your life. They want to teach your children. And they're so stupid that they couldn't even see what they were posting was like the exact opposite of the argument that they thought they were making. That's how dumb they are. So yeah, I make the joke. It's like there's a hint of seriousness to it, but you know, I make the joke of we need to have little tykes government for Democrats so they can feel like they're governing a country. They can feel like they're in charge. But at the end of the day, it's just fake. It's just plastic, but they feel important. They feel like it's, oh, I'm here. It's like a kid. You have your little tykes kitchen set for the kid and it has a fake knife and a fake oven and a fake stovetop and everything else. And so, you know, they're not boiling water and they're not cutting themselves with knives, but they feel like they're in the kitchen. You know, they feel like they're making food and cutting up food, a little plastic piece of bread. It's fun for them and it's good. They feel like they're in the kitchen, like mommy and daddy cooking food. You really need this for Democrats. This is how dumb they are. So, I mean, thank you. You just totally proved Joe Biden and the Democrats are it couldn't be more proof positive. Joe Biden and the Democrats are the reason why life in America is so expensive today compared to 5 years ago. And you just gave us the evidence thinking it was an own of Donald Trump. That's how dumb they are. That's how blind they are. That's how stupid they are. And that's why they're so dangerous when they get into political power or any type of power. Political power, legal power, teachers, doctors. I mean, who do you think's genitally mutilating children? Who do you think's chopping off young girls' breasts, calling it transgender surgery? Those aren't Republicans. That's these guys. You walk into the kids' classrooms and there's just gay flags everywhere, and they're it's math class. They're talking about how many sexes there are. Do you think that's Republicans or Democrats? When they're talking about censoring free speech, oh, I guess that is Republicans and Democrats. Never mind. Never mind. So this is how dumb they are. Let this be a lesson. See, that's what I said. I understand the spite vote, and I understand a bunch of right-wingers feeling disenfranchised. I get it. We've all been there. And look, I get it. People, when we get disenfranchised and the Republicans let us down and they never fulfill their promises and they always tease us and then never deliver, I get it. Out of spite, people won't vote or even vote Democrat. I see it every election cycle. I get it. I wouldn't do it. And this is why. Right here. This is why. Because they're just that dangerous, folks. They're just that dangerous. And if they're this stupid that they can't even read a basic line graph, what is that, third grade you learn about line graphs? Maybe second? They can't even read a basic line graph. You think they should be running government? What do you think's going to happen? You want an example? Look at California. See how dumb they are? See why they can't do it? This is your proof right here. This is maybe the greatest proof we've ever seen in our life. And they voluntarily gave it to us. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, I was asking the crew to monitor this story after Blanche met with Maxwell and her lawyers. We're hearing that they're requesting a pardon and that there's been deals that have been cut. So, here's the latest in the headlines. Maxwell gave Department of Justice information about 100 people linked to Jeffrey Epstein, according to lawyers. Blanche had every single question answered during the sit-down. Maxwell's attorneys also said that she didn't invoke the Fifth Amendment once. And if she lied, that she could be charged with lying based off the nature of the setting of these conversations. So this is crazy. This is crazy, folks. This is absolutely crazy. Now, you've got people putting out their own lists. I'm not going to read this stuff yet. Because we may get some serious stuff. And obviously a deal's been made, I think it's fair to say. Maxwell's attorney has just released a 60-second statement. Let's go ahead and play that for you.
Glenn answered every single question asked of her over the last day and a half. She answered those questions honestly, truthfully, to the best of her ability. She never invoked a privilege. She never refused to answer a question. So we're very proud of her. We're proud of how the process has worked over the past day and a half. We don't know how it's going to play out. We just know that this was the first opportunity she's ever been given to answer questions about what happened. And so the truth will come out about what happened with Mr. Epstein, and she's the person who's answering those questions.
I think Glenn did a wonderful job. She literally answered every question. She didn't say, you know what, don't ask me that. I'm not going to talk about this person. She was asked maybe about 100 different people. She answered questions about everybody, and she didn't hold anything back.
So, obviously, that's her lawyer talking, so he's going to talk like he's representing her. But what's strange is, he's talking like a defense lawyer that's currently in court. So that's kind of an interesting little approach to this. But I guess if they're trying to negotiate a deal, that's how you're going to go about it. But so it begs so many more questions now. The obvious one is going to be, what deal are they cutting? That's going to be the question, is what deals are being cut right now. it will likely include, or at least they're requesting, a pardon for Ghislaine. And then what does the DOJ want out of it? But I think the more pertinent question is, why is this investigation being done now? What in the hell happened when these cases were actually in court and Maxwell was actually facing the charges? What was going on? Did we decide we weren't going to investigate? That's what it sounds like. So now we're doing the investigation? So is that a Marine Comey? Is that a Marine Comey job? How can this be? How can we have this billionaire and daughter of a Israeli spy, sex trafficking operation, multiple mansions in America, planes flying everybody around? I mean, this is a huge deal. And what? Marine Comey and the DOJ just didn't investigate? Just said, we're not interested. Just take your single charge on these three things and go do your 20 years. We're not investigating any further. Who were they protecting and why? Just like the original Jeffrey Epstein deal in the 2000s, when they exonerated all his co-conspirators in a deal where they didn't even tell the victims what the plea deal was, so they had to bring Epstein back in and re-examine it, and eventually he kills himself in prison or gets killed. And so now they're saying, oh, well, we're interested. We're interested in Epstein's clients now. And again, I just think it's such a rare communication breakdown. It's such a rare just communication failure from Donald Trump on this. So it's obviously not a hoax. Or what are we going to get? Maxwell is going to come out and say, I was only trafficking girls to Jeff, and that's it. Well, who's going to believe that? And we're still going to want to know about all of the videos and audio recordings. We're still going to want to know about how he became a financier and what was he doing with his clients' money? What was he doing with the billions of dollars? So is this going to be like another cover-up, but a deal gets cut? Are we going to actually get answers to this question or these questions? And then when do we sit here and start asking the DOJ, who inside of the DOJ was covering this up? Who was it? Who inside the DOJ wanted to make sure that they could isolate Epstein, isolate Maxwell, and not do an investigation and just say, yep, it's just Epstein, it's just Maxwell, nothing to see here. That's it. That's the story. Who at the DOJ is protecting everyone else involved? Multiple times the DOJ has been running a protection racket for Epstein. Multiple times. And as Acosta once said, well, I was told he was an intelligence agent, so leave him alone. Okay. Okay. So let's hear it then. Let's hear it. So are we really going to get everything? Are we really going to get the truth? Or is this just the next level of the cover up? And then they're just cutting a deal to benefit both parties. Cause the DOJ, they got egg on their face too here. They got an egg on their face dating all the way back to the 90s with Epstein. So Trump's got reasons to try to get a deal done. The DOJ's got reasons to try to get a deal done. Maxwell's got reasons to try to get a deal done. So now it's like, whenever this all plays out, is anybody going to trust it? Are we actually going to get the answers we want? Or is this just the next phase of the continued cover up? Well, maybe the aliens will tell us. I have a feeling we're going to get alien. I have a feeling we were going to get alien news. Some of this is old. The government may release some alien news just to distract us. And then I have this other alien thing over here, actually. But aliens could be walking among us on Earth, Harvard researchers suggest. And then the Harvard researchers found a what they think is an alien spaceship. Rare interstellar object the size of Manhattan could be alien probe. And they think it could be dangerous. They think it could be aliens that want to come to our planet. Could be violent. Don't they always do this? I feel like whenever they do something, size of Manhattan. Why are they always doing that? It is something in space, the size of Manhattan. I guarantee you they use this all the time. I know I've seen other stories about size of Manhattan. So now there's a spaceship the size of Manhattan with aliens coming, guys. All right, bring on the aliens. Let's just do this, man. Let's just do it. Bring on the aliens. Let's see them. Of course, this was a declassified FBI document from 1947 talking about beings are visiting us from other dimensions. Beings from other dimensions. Mm-hmm. And so this was all part of different projects that they had, experiments that they were doing. So, how much do you really think about that, though? Are there beings in space? Will we be dealing with beings in space, coming from space? Or are they just interdimensional demons that are here with us, just operating in a different vibrational frequency so that they can't be seen or heard by the organic human eye? But all of this stuff has already been in declassified government documents. But it's the size of Manhattan. Whatever it is up there, it's always the size of Manhattan. Whether it's a rock, whether it's a spaceship, whether it's an alien itself floating around through space, it's always the size of Manhattan every single time. It befuddles all logic, all science, all odds within the realm of possibility. But everything we ever find in space, it's always the size of Manhattan. It's amazing how we can do these measurements. And every single time we do, it's the size of Manhattan. What's going on that Manhattan rock in space?
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices, selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. Now, the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3000. Call now for your free consultation.
Piercing through the globalist agenda, welcome Owen Schroyer.
Well, they're saying the aliens could be potentially hostile. Well, a turd that falls out of your ass could be potentially hostile too. So, let's just hope it's not the size of Manhattan. He might have some other problems to deal with if that's the case. But potentially hostile could be potentially hostile, folks. Anything could be potentially hostile. Now, I want to get to the rest of this news here and then open up the phone lines as we close out the InfoWars War Room for the week. I got a bit of a funny story here that we'll play a short clip. Folks, remember, we have a sale happening right now at thealexjonesstore.com, and it will come to an end this week. That's the buy one, get one free bombshell sale. Buy one, get one free methylene blue. Buy one, get one free Sheila G gummies. And buy one, get one free CMOS gummies. This sale will come to an end at the end of the week. You have just under 9 hours when you shop at thealexjonesstore.com to qualify for two raffles. That's right. The Ford F-250, we will be closing that raffle at the end of the night. But when you shop now, you're still eligible to get into that raffle and giveaway. But you'll also be entering into the 2025 Jeep Gladiator raffle giveaway. So two giveaways right now. And you will be entered into each one. But to be eligible for the Ford F-250, you have to have your shopping at thealexjonesstore.com done by the end of the night. Now, remember, if you're a VIP member, you get bonus entries into our raffles, one of the many benefits. To learn more, go to thealexjonesstore.com/VIP to learn all about those benefits and become a VIP member. We really appreciate our VIP members. It's that support that budgets us into the future. So a young girl graduates high school, gets into college, but she can't even read. And so she's suing her high school. This, I don't know if it has ever happened before in this country or anywhere else on earth, but this is a funny one here in clip 10.
Did you ever think you'd be going to college here?
No, never. Not very many years.
In some ways, Alaysha Ortiz is living an American dream. The 19-year-old began her freshman year at the University of Connecticut in Hartford this fall. She's excited to study public policy, the culmination of hard work after moving north from Puerto Rico as a child.
Do you remember when you first came to Connecticut?
Yes, I remember I was very nervous. But I know it was going to be better opportunities for me to learn.
But Alaysha says those opportunities never came to fruition.
Even today, could you read this or would it take you a long time?
It's impossible. I just see his words everywhere.
Alaysha graduated from the Hartford Public School System last year, but she says today she is illiterate. She still doesn't know how to read or write. When she was in early education,
they would just either tell me to stay in a corner and sleep, or just draw pictures, flowers for them.
And when she was in high school, she relied on speech-to-text programs and other apps to read and write essays.
So if you had an assignment where you had to write something, you'd open up a document like this and then do what?
I would go here to use the text-to-speech.
It says dictate.
Dictate, yep. I love pizza.
This is how you would do your assignments.
And then
Cats of the World VAK sporting a twin prop airplane.
If you had to read something, that's how you do it.
She said her mother, who does not speak English well, tried to get answers.
She advocated so much. She went to the school. The principal will promise her that they will do better. And sometimes there will be people from the district or the directors promising her that they would do better.
Now, Alicia is suing the Hartford Board of Education and the city for negligence.
I'm speechless. I don't know what to say about that. I will give her credit to be able to graduate from the work she put in, but what the hell?
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
That's a beacon for patriots worldwide. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Okay, third and final hour of the show today. We're going to open up the phone lines now. Anything we've covered is fair game,
including golf. Thank you, President Trump. 877-789-2539 is the number. Number on the screen. 877-789-2539. Couple other stories here before we start taking calls. This was from that executive order we covered yesterday, which I think is a very important one. Now, actually executing this is going to be tough. There's no denying it. President Trump's new executive order will essentially override the laws that closed the mental asylums in the 1960s, allowing states to once again involuntarily re-institutionalize people deemed a danger to themselves or others. And then exact text from this executive order reads, in appropriate cases, the reversal of federal or state judicial precedents and the termination of consent decrees that impede the United States policy of encouraging civil commitment of individuals with mental illness who pose risk to themselves or the public, or are living on the streets and cannot care for themselves in appropriate facilities for appropriate periods of time. So, this is a humanitarian issue. It's a society issue. It's a cultural issue. Everybody knows exactly what it is. You know, most specifically, if you live in a major metropolitan area, you know what this is about. So, but okay, how do you handle it? That's the question. You don't want to be heavy-handed, but yet you might have to be. Let's just use a practical example that I see here in Austin all the time. In fact, there's a very popular breakfast spot downtown. It's one of my favorite breakfast spots here. But, you know, there's a lot of homelessness in the area. And just the other day, it's like people got mad at me for posting the photo of the guy. But, I mean, driving to get breakfast, and I'm sitting at the intersection, and a guy walks in front of my car at the red light, clearly mentally disabled. In fact, I think he just must have just got out of the hospital because he looked like he had a little hospital band on. Clearly not well. And stops in the middle of the street, and he craps his pants. Just right there, craps his pants. And then shuffles along. So this is clearly an individual that cannot care for himself. And it's not something where I'm like, oh, look at this guy pooping his pants on the street, ha ha, like point left. No, I mean, it's sad. It's very sad. It's very sad for him. It's very sad for the city. And yeah, I don't want to see it. So that would be an example of an individual who poses a risk to himself and the public and cannot care for himself. So you cannot have people like this living on the streets, folks. You just can't. So now what do you do? What do you do? Do you send a van out there and have some people in coats and gloves, scoop them up, throw them into a car, take them to the institution? How do you deal with it? It's a serious question. But it's like, you know, there's different classifications you could even say, but it's like somebody like that, that clearly cannot take care of themselves. If you're walking around the streets of a major city and pooping in your pants and then walking along like it's no big deal until you find a street corner to take a nap on, you can't take care of yourself. You don't belong in public. And the humane thing to do is to take you into an institution. That is the humane thing to do, where somebody can care for you and maybe give you a chance at some semblance of a normal life, a productive life, a purpose-filled life, if that's possible. If not, at least we can put you somewhere where you have a bed and a toilet. So what do you do? Is it like a program where you give them like two opportunities? And it's like the first time you say, all right, here's the deal. You're out here walking around defecating in the streets. You're clearly a threat to the public and you can't care for yourself. So here's a warning or a citation or whatever. Maybe you appear in front of a judge or something else just to say, okay, are you wiping your ass? Are you using the toilet? Or if you don't, and we see you again, we're going to come and take you to the mental institution. Is that a way to handle it? So that's like one class where it's like clearly mentally ill and needs help. Then you've got your drug addict, aggressive drug addict types that you just kind of don't know what they're going to do. So it's like, okay, well, what do you do with like the aggressive drug addict types that like to lurk around and hang around? Obviously, they're a threat to the public. Obviously, they're not making us feel safe or comfortable. So how do you handle them? Same thing. You say, hey, listen, you're out here clearly on drugs. You're out here clearly just harassing the public, making people feel uncomfortable. So you either clean up your act and you can go to a judge in 2 weeks and explain how you cleaned up your act, or we're going to come find you and institutionalize you and you're going to have to sober up. Is that how you do it? And then after they get the warning, you come scoop them up. So there's all kinds of these different types. It's like we've got, and it's not unique to Austin. I'm just so sick of it. It's like every stoplight downtown, there's some guy that wants to clean your windshield and I don't want you to clean my windshield. And they come up and they just start cleaning your car and they just start shaking your car. Some of them are like, it's just like, dude, don't touch my freaking car. It's like, yeah, I want that. If you want to go out and try to have a little side business cleaning car windows and you're somewhat respectful and you just walk up next to the window and, you know, people see you have the squeegee. And they either say move on or yeah, whatever, clean my window. Okay. They just walk up your car and they just start cleaning it. They just walk up to it and they just start cleaning it, climbing on it. It's like, no. No, get off the car, go into an institution. You clearly have no social decorum at all. You're a threat to the public. So I would like to see, maybe they'll kind of do a test case with this in DC and Trump kind of hinted at that after he landed in Scotland. And he said, well, yeah, because it's really bad at Lafayette Park there. Like, that's another one. What do you do about the people that build the tent cities? What do you do about the people that live in the huts? It's like, you can't make homelessness a crime. It's not a crime. You know, you can't just start picking up everybody that's, you know, roaming the streets or living in the streets. So it's like, that's a tough one. But it obviously needs to be done. I mean, it has to be done, folks. It's so bad. We've let this thing get so out of control. The humane thing to do is to stop it. Give them a purpose-filled life. Get them so they can use a toilet. Get them so they can take a shower. Get them so they can have an opportunity to get sober. But then how do you do it without it looking authoritarian, without it being too heavy-handed? Because then you know what's going to happen. It's going to turn into a political football, and they're going to say, look at authoritarian President Trump. Look at what he's doing to the poor homeless. The poor homeless? These people are walking around in crap-filled britches, high all day, with no purpose in life. What do you mean? We're trying to help them. So you know if you handle this wrong one time, that becomes the narrative. But it has to be done. So I'm going to be interested to follow that. I maybe they test it, D.C. area, see what they can do. Maybe they just test it at Lafayette Park, see what they can do, what works, what doesn't. But this is so long overdue, and I hope it's nothing but success. And if you do it right, everybody wins. If you do this right and you have success, everybody wins. The people that are vagrants and mentally ill and deranged that are out on the streets harassing everybody, if you can help them, they win. And then everybody else that frequents the cities and walks the cities and shops and goes to dinner and everything else, they win because you have a cleaner city. You're not feeling uncomfortable. I wonder, and you know this exists, how many people, specifically with women, how many people will go out downtown somewhere and you just have one bad experience? Just all it takes is one sometimes with a vagrant out there, and you just never want to go back. It only takes one. And I hear stories like that all the time, actually. In fact, we've got Brianna Morello, who hosts a show here on Saturdays now, and she may be breaking this tomorrow, so I'm not trying to scoop her, but tune in tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Central, to see this. She gets harassed in Dallas, and she just got harassed by a guy in Dallas outside of her apartment. She just went to the police to get the video footage, so now she has video footage of this guy attacking her, harassing her. Another guy ended up stabbing a woman. So it's like, that happens one time and you don't want to go back out. That happens one time and you don't want to go to the restaurant downtown. You don't want to go to the ball game. So it's gotten out of control. I'm glad President Trump is addressing this. And if it's successful, everybody wins. Everybody wins. But there's no doubt it's not going to be, you got to handle this the right way. You got to handle it the right way. All right. Let's go to the phone lines, and let's go to James in Idaho. James, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. Hello, Owen. I wanted to point out about the girl who says she can't read. Hello?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So I find that a little bit difficult to believe because I hear the way she talked, and her dictation is very good. Okay. And I'm almost sure that can only come from a form of reading and writing or in some degree, or at least conversations with people. And for her to have that vocabulary that she has, it also seems like it's a little bit hard for her not to understand that she can't read. I just find it a little bit difficult.
So wait, am I hearing you right? You think it's a scam?
Well, no. I'm not saying it's a scam. I don't want to, you know, belittle the girl or anything like that. I just hear her dictation, the way she announces words and the way she, the vocabulary that she has. And it seems to me that, I believe that she could read more so than she says she can. That's all I'm saying.
Well, here's your question. You mind if I don't point know, maybe, out one? I don't know. They were kind of unclear about whether she's fluent or literate in any language, like say Spanish. A lot of people, most people in Puerto Rico speak English too. But the thought that came to my mind was, well, okay, you got into the University of Connecticut. I'm pretty sure they make you take an SAT to get in. So it's like, how do you even take a test if you can't read? They don't let you have your phone in there translating.
I agree. That's another point. You mind if I mention something else about Mr. Moore, Dr. Moore, in Utah, Draper, Utah?
You're talking about Dr. Kirk Moore, that the DOJ dropped those charges because he was saving people from the vaccine?
Yes. The United States Post Office, roughly in 2020, when COVID-19 first came out, they, if I'm not mistaken, they don't have to follow the shots. They don't have to receive the shots or any other thing regarding COVID. They're exempt, is what I'm trying to say. Okay? And I just wanted Mr. Moore, Dr. Moore, in Draper, Utah, and Alex, to give them that information that the United States Post Office, if I'm in your crew, could check it out. If they're exempt from the shots, because he was being in trouble because he was helping people not take the shots, so to speak. Okay, but they dropped the charges, like you said. Okay. But I just wanted to point out that the United States Post Office in roughly 2020, when COVID-19 started, okay, was also exempt from taking all the members of the post, not just one or two, but like, let's say 1,000 or 10,000, whatever's in the post office. Okay. They were allowed not to take the shot. They were exempt from taking the shot. And if your crew wants to follow up on that.
Yeah, you know what?
And
now I actually recall that, James, and I thank you for the call. Now I recall that because at the time, We were looking at the post office workers as one of the anomalies in the logic, in that they were still working at the time. So it's like, if anybody's going to be spreading a virus around, it would be the people going door to door. Of course, I wasn't supporting shutting anybody down or targeting postmen, but it was like, okay, the postmen are still going around and nobody's stopping that. And then they did the same thing with the vaccines. And we were like, well, what the hell? How does this work? So yeah, it's funny that you bring that up. Just trying to relieve all that madness is it's like surreal. It's like you can't even, it's like there's something, I don't know, am I alone? It's like there's something in my brain that just wants to like reject it. It's like I don't even want to recognize that it even happened. It's like we were all there, we witnessed it, I remember it. But there's some weird block. It's like honestly, it's like an involuntary brain mechanism that has just decided, we're just going to box this up and just not this. You can't really get access to this. It's like, I have to really think about it. Like most stuff that I read or experience, I can like quick draw and just be like, boom, quick draw it. But for some reason, with all the COVID madness, I have to actually kind of really sit and concentrate and unpack that box and be like, oh yeah, this is everything that happened. Like they shut down the country, man. They went crazy with the vaccine mandates and the masks and everything else. So I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but it's weird. It's like I can't quick draw that stuff. But you bring it up, I can go into that little box my brain has put it in and unpack it and recall it. By the way, on that issue, the crew just found this. So now apparently in Connecticut, the tests are optional. I mean, I don't even care. College is such a joke anyway. So I'm not even going to really... I don't have much care or concern. So, but I guess they're now saying you don't even have to take these tests. So the whole thing is just a joke, man. Honestly, higher education is such a ripoff, such a joke, such a waste of time. There's very few degrees that are even, that even matter anymore. And there's obviously some careers that you do need to go to college and get some experience. Most of this stuff you don't. It's not worth the money. It's not worth the time. You'd better off spend 4 years even just going job to job until you find something you like or get an opportunity, honestly. It's like if you're an engineer or, you know, an astrophysicist, you know, stuff like that, okay. But even like really smart people in those fields can learn it on their own. Plus the big life hack now, most college courses are available on YouTube. So you can make your own college schedule and just go. It's basically on YouTube. But, you don't even have to take the test anymore. The old tests. Let's go to Dallas in California. Dallas, you're on the air. Go ahead. Dallas going once. Dallas going twice. Well, Dallas, we gave it a shot. All right, let's try Christopher in New York. Christopher, go ahead.
Yes. Owen, the mercury in my blood pressure machine exploded when I saw that clip about that bill that I think it was in the House of Representatives in that clip.
Yeah, Gottlieb and Bacon co-sponsoring it, probably written by the ADL.
Yes, and they all had that little smirk like the Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Oh.
That little smirk. And my blood pressure, the machine broke. I can't believe this. Now, I hope it goes to the Supreme Court very quick and it's turned down, because what gives the right of these foreign people, Israel, which is a foreign country, to dictate in this country like this to get rid of our First Amendment rights?
Is Jonathan Greenblatt an Israeli citizen? Guys, see if he's an Israeli citizen or if he's a dual citizen or what his deal is. Because that's the big thing. Like, they do that with AIPAC and they're like, oh no, these are Americans. Stop playing this game. American Jews have loyalties to Israel. It doesn't mean they're bad people. I'm just sick of people that don't deal in reality, man. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Anyhow, I hope these things go to the Supreme Court quickly if they do pass and they strike it down. What if they don't?
I don't think it'll pass.
I want to think
that it won't pass. I want to believe that, but I agree. And I said that when the first bill started passing, and if you recall, I said specifically, it'll be a Jewish lawyer. It'll be a Jewish lawyer that ends up fighting against the anti-Semitism, speech laws in a great case of irony.
One thing, I'm 77 years old. I've been around for a while in New York City. There were children that grew up that did sue public schools for not being educated properly, that they couldn't read or write. But this was a while back. But it was done before. I don't know what the results were, but it has been done before.
You're talking about cleaning up the streets?
No. About children who were said they didn't get the proper education.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry, Chris. I had the crew in my ear, and they had a Jonathan Greenblatt thing up to see if he was a dual citizen. He was born in Connecticut, so he is an American. But he always wears the Israeli, like, you know, lapel stuff. So that's why I didn't hear you, because I had the crew in my ear and that story up. So go on with the schools, though.
Oh yeah, no. About in the 60s or so, there were certain people in the New York City area that graduated in, you know, high school, and then they went on and they couldn't read and write. And eventually they did get lawyers and sue. And I think some of these people won. So it has been done before.
Mm.
Now, that, like that person said, this one was a smart cookie. She wasn't no dummy. So we don't know.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. That girl's obviously smart, or resourceful at least. She's very resourceful. But how do you, that is, I mean, okay, we know how she got through high school with being illiterate, but it's just like, by the time you get to high school, you're supposed to know how to read. So it's also like, well, that's not the high school's job to teach you how to read.
Do you know something? There's a famous actor, and I think it's Lawrence Hendrickson something. I forgot the name. He's in a lot of horror films. I think it was him who admitted about 20 years ago, as he was an actor and progressing, he couldn't read or write either. And then he learned eventually, but the thing is, he admitted it. I don't know if that was the right name, but there are people that went through half a life getting through like that. And then eventually they did learn to read and write, you know. So I don't know. It's a strange thing.
Yeah. All right, Chris, thanks for the call. That's going to close out this segment. Final segment on the other side of this break. We got more callers on the line, a couple other headlines to cover. We'll get it all done.
Huge announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants. And it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low. Wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. Limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda, featuring a double-edged black coated blade for unmatched durability and precision. This dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
You. Palestinian people, this is all for you.
Yeah. All right. That would be Rashida Tlaib banging a kitchen pan for the Palestinians. I mean, that's all you got? What do you, would you go into the Capitol cafeteria and pull out one of those trays and a spoon? And you're saying you're just going to bang it on the steps for the Palestinians. All right. Maybe they heard you. Maybe you gave them a little more courage. How about that? By the way, Ryan Routh, or Ruth, or however he pronounces his name, makes first appearance in court representing himself. So he filed to represent himself. He didn't like his lawyers, the court-appointed lawyers. Judge Cannon granted him that, but said that he has to keep the court-appointed lawyers in there with him, but he can represent himself. So this case continues to be weirder and weirder, and now he's representing himself. So, but we're going to probably just be told these people acted alone, and there's no connection. No connection to any foreign countries or anything, so just let it go. Just let it go. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez lost a battle after an ethics complaint. AOC broke House rules to attend Met Gala with her beard. Or is she the beard? How does that go? Riley Roberts, her husband. She is forced to pay an additional $2,700 for the tax the rich gown and other accessories. Ooh. But she didn't file. It should have been more than that. Because when they get into the story in the New York Post, she got quite a bit of, how should we say, financial benefits from that whole stunt. So, but only a $2,700 fee. By the way, you know, I don't really buy into all of this hype and propaganda that they're trying to get people to care about the WNBA. But I got to say, some of it is a bit entertaining. For example, Sophie Cunningham, who's essentially Caitlin Clark's bodyguard, you know, cute blonde. And she shoots a video, because this is honestly the new thing with the WNBA, and it's probably the only hope that they have is, you know, just get some good looking women to start doing, you know, Instagram stuff. And so that's what Sophie Cunningham kind of does. So that might be the only hope that they have. But she shoots a video on Instagram basically making fun of referees. Which nowadays in professional sports is like, no. You're not allowed to do that. I mean, you say something negative about the refs in the NBA or the NFL, you're getting a huge fine. So it's like a no-go zone now. You're not allowed to be critical of the refs anymore. Well, she does this joke video. So she gets fined. This is hilarious. A $500 fine. I mean, my God. A $500 fine. Can you imagine? We're fining you $500 for doing a video making fun of a referee. $500. Oh, that's funny. That is funny. And then it's like they had to see what they were doing. They had to know what they were doing. They come out with a new ad campaign for the WNBA, and they put it on billboards, and they put it on the side of buildings, banners, social media. And the slogan, the new WNBA slogan is, and I kid you not, let them cook. In other words, get in the kitchen. Get in the kitchen, woman. So I can't tell, was this an oversight or was this intentional? You didn't see where this was going, really? $500 fines and let her cook. Get in the kitchen, woman. Hey, put down that ball and make me a sandwich. Let her cook. Yes, I know. It's like a popular saying amongst the kids. Let them cook. Still, that's hilarious. Even, you know, even the official White House social media account put something up today that was just so childish. I'm like, what are you doing? It was a picture. It was a pretty cool picture of President Trump getting on Marine One. He's got his fist in the air. He's like, ugh. and they posted the caption, it gives commander in chief. Oh my God. Do we still have the same like gay guy in the pantsuit running this White House social media account? What is going on with this? It gives commander. Stop it. Stop talking to us like we're 12 years old. You're embarrassing us. Cringe is what they call that. They call that one cringe. Lee Zeldin, another victory, a small victory, but we'll take them all. Make gas cans great again. You know, they signed these laws where you have like all these weird knobs, and I don't even know what goes on with these gas cans anymore. Like, you need an instruction manual just to figure it out. So Lee Zeldin is giving you back great gas cans, meaning just a normal gas can where you put gas in and you pour it out. And you don't have to like insert a code or like do a secret handshake to get it to open up. It's like, it's a Friday. Why not? Just let it. It's like, you know, it's like, trying to figure out. Well, we'll just leave it at that. We'll just go ahead and leave it at that. Gas cans used to pour gas. Now they just dribble like a child's sippy cup. The Trump's EPA's message to gas can makers, vent the darn can and let it flow, baby, flow. It's really simple. I just want a gas can that I can put gas in and take gas out. I don't want this thing like some confusing machinery where I need a manual. So, okay. I'll take this small victory. I'll take it. Democrats are panicked right now, folks, over the reverse gerrymandering. Headline in the New York Times, Democrats have few tools to counter GOP redistricting. And really what they're saying is the Democrats gerrymandered so that they could steal at least a dozen seats per election cycle in the House. And that's what they did. Here's a perfect example, by the way. We should dot cam this if you guys don't have it up. These are the Texas districts. Now, this was an issue vote that you have, so it was all red here. But, okay, these are the Texas districts. Do you see District 28 there? Do you see this? Do you see this district? Who drew this district? What type of a clown? I'm not trying to be rude here, but, I mean, this looks like someone with Parkinson's drew this up, like severe. So, what even is this? So, but this is what they do. They siphon, this would all be red. But they siphon just enough votes out of the major metropolitan areas right here in North Austin. They siphon just enough of a percentage of votes so that this district goes blue when it would normally be red. This is how they steal seats. Even look at this one. Look at even this one, they're siphoning votes out. Look at this. District 24 goes all the way over here into kind of the greater North Austin area. So they try to siphon off votes, folks. So now they're going to redistrict Texas. The Democrats could lose 4 to 5 seats in Texas. If they redistrict Illinois and Maryland, there could be a couple more that flip there as well. This is the kryptonite. And with all the political issues that normal election cycles, we would see the Republicans lose House seats. If they reverse gerrymander what the Democrats have done, that could save the midterms. Could be the only hope we get. That's a clown map, bro. That's a crime, whoever drew that map. You also have Shiloh Marks from Clean Up the California Rolls, who is stating California removed 3.1 million ineligible voters. So they made sure to delay that after the presidential election, by the way. California has removed 3.1 million ineligible voters. Kamala only won the state by 3.2 million. So that could put California back in play. And I think it puts a couple of these districts back in play. You know, we've always thought that the most voter fraud happened in California, and maybe we're about to find out that that is the case. Just maybe. You know, Tim Burchett keeps it simple and keeps it right, as he posted this morning. Why can't we fix some problems in Washington, D.C.? Because too many folks are getting rich off of it. That's why. Tim Burchett, one of the good guys. One of the good guys. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines and go to Jeff in Dallas. Jeff, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Jeff Lytle here. First time caller, long time listener.
All right. Thanks. Good to have you.
All right. I was calling in, just real quick. Some of my favorite products. I love the, I don't hear it often enough, is Ultimate Fish Oil. That's one that I love, and I just started doing the methylene blue. Love the products you all have. But the reason why I was calling was to the segment you had about the girl who got into college but wasn't able to read.
Yeah.
I have a son who's teaching middle school history, and just started right after the COVID time period. And he's teaching like 6th, 7th, 8th graders. And he's saying not all of them, but some of them are coming in and they can only read at like 2nd and 3rd grade level.
Is this like an inner city school?
It is not. I mean, it's kind of a suburb of Dallas. I mean, it's a nice area. It's upper middle class. Now, he is teaching at a Title I school.
I've heard of these problems. I've witnessed these problems in inner city schools. I certainly have seen that. But usually it kind of just remains in more inner city situations where, teachers are just trying to get through the day.
I would not compare it to an inner city school, but I think it does have some challenges compared to, what I would say a normal school upbringing is. But he says one of the big problems is the grade schools continue to just graduate kids and matriculate them up through the different grades. And regardless of their performance.
So it's like they won't hold them back?
Right. They won't hold them back. And they give them accommodation. And the accommodations they'll give them is they'll allow them to use their cell phone to do speech to text.
Yeah,
and
like that girl was doing.
Exactly. And it's fairly common. He says there's a lot of kids that are on those accommodations that really probably don't need to be on them. They just need extra help.
Well, it's another sign and symptom of what's happening with our education system, and it's going the wrong way. And it's been led by the left. It's been led by the liberals and the Democrats for far too long. And so that's what happens. Just like everything else they get their hands on, they just destroy. So now kids can't even read. Thanks, Democrats. But maybe the Democrats prefer it, because if they could read and have some like historical comprehension or political comprehension or current events comprehension, well, then they might not be liberal Democrats. So maybe the Democrats did this by design. They want dumb people because dumb people vote for Democrats. All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. Is that a conspiracy theory, or is there enough evidence to say, nope, I think we might be onto something here. Let's go to, is it Dama in West Virginia or Doma or Dama, West Virginia? Go ahead.
Hi, this is Donna from West Virginia. And what I want to say is about the homelessness. The thing is that we do need to do something, because I personally have lived in. I'm sorry.
You all right there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've lived in 5 states. I'm a senior citizen. And the problem is that, like in Florida, they're arresting, like right now, homeless people and putting them in jail for nothing. only because they're homeless. And then they shuffle them from one area, like you were talking about down there. They shuffle all these people every 30 days. They're having, they move them. And then the shelters in every state I've been in are worthless because you have to leave there by 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning and go somewhere all day long. And then you can't check back in until 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. If you don't have no place to go, you don't have.
Do you think opening the institutions again is a solution?
Yeah, but there's no institutions.
Well, that's what they're trying to do. Part of this bill is to reopen the institution so that you do have somewhere to live, basically.
The only way to do this is I really think that they should consider taking over the prisons and turning them into.
It's kind of a similar operation, honestly, except, you know, you don't treat them like criminals. You don't cuff them everywhere they go and have all the prison guards. But it'll be, you know, I think operationally it'll probably be similar to a prison. But obviously you'll have more freedom to move about and you won't get cuffed and treated like a criminal. But you kind of have to run it, at least, you know, as far as some standards are concerned, probably in a very similar way. But yeah, they had the similar problem here after they moved everybody where they were trying to either, they would arrest certain homeless people, that were known, you know, they were a known issue. Or when they made it illegal to camp out in certain places, they would write them ticket after ticket, but of course they can't pay the tickets. So they ended up just filling the jails and they said, well, we don't want to fill the jails with homeless people. So look, I'm just glad that the administration is trying to address this. I hope for the success for everybody involved in this because it will be a win-win-win-win-win across the board for everybody if this is successful. But there's no doubt the situation is so bad that it's going to be, you know, something. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be a learning curve to try to do this right. But I think it just has to be done. It has to be addressed. And ignoring it and doing nothing about it is obviously a problem, and it's just made it worse. Thanks for the call, Donna. I'm going to try to take as many calls here. Let's go to Darla in California. Darla, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Trump's deal with Australia. That they're going to send 75%. Well, they already send 75% of their beef to us. And I'm wondering if this deal is some sort of distraction because they don't have beef really to send to us. And I think he's trying to distract us from Epstein and things like that.
Somebody brought that up to me. I haven't seen too much about this. I don't see the administration making a big fuss of it. They may have made a statement on it. We used to have an Australian rancher on the show quite frequently. If you've been listening for a long time, we haven't had her on in a long time. I think she might still be doing journalism based out of Australia. I don't know. But yeah, she used to talk about that and different things they were trying to do in that beef industry. I haven't heard much about that. I know they have very high quality beef there. They have some of the highest standards there. So it's people want Australian beef, but as far as exactly what you're talking about, I haven't seen much about that in the news. And I mean, you say it's meant to be a distraction for Epstein. I don't know. I think they're doing other things. If they're trying to distract from Epstein, it's not Australian beef. Otherwise, I think more people would hear about it. By the way, this just broke. Thank you for the call, Darla. So we're getting more of an understanding about what went down in these meetings with Maxwell and the DOJ. Ghislaine Maxwell offered conditional immunity in DOJ interviews, according to the most recent reports, and basically she's in there with limited immunity now, meaning I guess what they're saying is she's singing like a canary, or at least that's what they're hoping. So maybe that gives a little bit more of a window into understanding, because clearly the DOJ still spiked the investigation whenever it was originally happening with Epstein and with Maxwell. So then you look back at Maureen Comey, and maybe it's her spiking these things, at least in the Maxwell case, but the DOJ clearly was spiking these cases. So now they're doing the investigation. But why? Okay, so Maxwell needs limited immunity, so I guess she's going to potentially be admitting to crimes that they didn't charge her with. And the idea is that she's going to answer questions about Epstein clients or Maxwell clients or who they were trafficking girls to or maybe even doing financial deals to. But it looks like Maxwell got into the Epstein world after he kind of did all of his financing, as they say. But okay, they're saying, look, we'll give you some immunity here. We want you to sing. We want to know about these clients. So we'll see what comes out of this. But again, I don't want to let it slip through the cracks that this is embarrassing for the DOJ that they clearly, and they just did it it just happened with Diddy too in New York. They clearly were not doing an investigation. They clearly narrowed this thing down as slim as possible to only focus on the smallest things and get a charge and then not do an investigation. Like, who was Epstein doing the money deals with or for? And who was Maxwell sex trafficking for? So it's like they didn't want to investigate that. Oh, but now supposedly we're going to get that investigation. So this is going to be interesting. There's no doubt about that. So it's not like the story is going anywhere now. It'll just get bigger now, I would say. All right, let's go to Steve in Indiana. Steve, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, and this is Steve from Indiana. I'm calling in regards to do two different things. One was I went to college, lost my Montgomery GI Bill post 9/11. I did the seat time. For those that did, it was Sweet versus Cardona, class action suit, VA form 22-0989 for all those that were part of that and that lost a lot of their life. That's one topic they can go look at. The other one is the Epstein list. Why is nobody talking about Pritzker's cousin that owns Hyatt Hotels? And he was paying the hush money, from my understanding. There was questions given to the governor, Pritzker, about that maybe 2-3 years ago. He denied it, even knowing about it. Somebody's got to ask him why he's not talking about it now.
Well, maybe this name comes up with Maxwell.
The other thing is I got two 11-year-old girls here that would like your autograph.
Two of them? Are they twin daughters?
They are. And
very cool.
They are very big listeners. I try to expose them. And I was wondering, is there any possibility that you guys could start something for the younger generation, similar to like Rush Limbaugh? He had a little thing there. We could get the younger generations learning about what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve, you know, we're like just kind of fighting just to stay on air. So it's hard to go into new endeavors like that. If you want to send something to our P.O. box, I'd be happy to autograph it. Just send whatever it needs to be returned in, an envelope or whatever it is. I'd be happy to sign that and send it back to you guys. We really do love our young listeners, and so that's great. Trying to keep your kids up to date on the real world, real current events, and on the right side of history. Thank you for the call, Steve. That does it for this week.
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. And I've heard all the rants and raves about this. I'm really interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see, yeah, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And pretty excited to see how this is going to work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of hopefully of what is the unlimited power.
What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving you all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the ultramethylene blue USP grade, the alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now, and it's hard to explain what I feel other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed, but very on point. And the energy kind of feels clean, no jittery, things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll even probably take a, you know, an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well. So definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized. is a very calm Zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, you'll need to go to the alexjonesstore.com and get your methylene blue today.